Monday, everybody. Joe Torti here with you on 97.5 The Fanatic. And a couple of orders of business to get to. Obviously, the topic on the table, the Eagles, tough loss to New York. Philadelphia completes the sweep that they didn't want to complete, losing once to every divisional foe that they faced. And we'll go inside the game. A couple things stood out to me in particular. And, of course, we'll get to what stood out to you at 610-632-0975. One, the Eagles, from a playoff perspective, are cooked. This is a team that is done. I never like to say that a team's done before Thanksgiving, but I think I feel pretty confident here. In at 4-4, with the strength of the division, the way that Washington, New York, and Dallas have been playing, and the Cowboys especially, the Eagles are cooked. Don't want to say that, but I got to call it like I see it. Speaking of calling it like I see it, before we get into all of the reasons that the Eagles lost to the Giants yesterday, I do want to definitely play it down the middle. There's one thing that I've been saying all season, is that I've been waiting for Zach Ertz to get off of the all-potential team and onto the all-production team. Zach Ertz had a great game yesterday. Best Eagle on the field as far as I was concerned, 8 catches, 97 yards. So congratulations to Zach Ertz. I owe you kudos, and there they are. Now, having said that, there was a whole lot that went wrong as far as I could see it yesterday. And the glaring thing that sticks out is that this wide receiving core is just flat out subpar. I don't mean like below average. I mean not even functional at the NFL level. I think it is possible to be salvaged by utilizing players in the right way. But based on what I saw yesterday, despite 88 yards from Jordan Matthews and a 58-yard reception by Treggs, it's slim pickings out there. As far as I'm concerned, this is an Eagles team that is woefully deficient at the skill positions. And if not in the talent, which could be a possibility, then certainly in the deployment of the talent at those skill positions. I'm sure that I wasn't alone when I just threw my hands up yesterday watching Darren Sproles run up the middle for the umpteenth time. Or seeing Wendell Smallwood rip off a 19-yarder and then only have one other carry in the game. Some of the things that played out yesterday against the Giants, who, by the way, despite you spotting them 14 points you had a chance to beat at the end of the game, it was just mind-blowing to watch. Carson Wentz, I want to tread lightly because last time I said anything like this, I got absolutely skewered. Are you guys starting to believe me now that maybe he's not the savior of this season? Not saying he's never going to be a good quarterback, but he certainly wasn't great yesterday. Despite 364 yards, also threw two back-breaking interceptions to set the Giants up with a 14-0 lead. With that loss, and you're sitting at 4-4, you've lost to every other team in the division, I don't like to rule out the wild card because there have been so many crazy things that have just happened in the NFC over even just recent times. But I feel confident in saying that this is an Eagles team that after a 3-0 start will not be going to the playoffs. It's a painful, bitter pill to swallow. But it's just the way it is. What went wrong? Doug Peterson has been called aggressive and creative in the early portions of this season, going 3-0 with his play calling and going for it on fourth downs. You know, you think about that Steelers game and the Chicago game before that, going for it on fourth downs. The Eagles look terrifying. It's creative play calling. Got all set up in ways that it looked like they might never be stopped on a fourth down and two or shorter again. It's feeling like Doug Peterson is just flipping a coin now with these fourth down decisions. 6 minutes to go, fourth down and 9. Yeah, they got it. But they go for it there. That it made no sense. And on that same drive, you're sending out the kicker on fourth down and 2. Makes no sense. Carson Wentz had a subpar game. I don't mean to single out Doriel Green Beckham every single time I'm on the air. And I try to be fair. But there is a reason that Tennessee was able to give him up so easily for Dennis Kelly, who the Eagles were likely going to release anyway. This is a guy who has been a complete non-factor in this game. Really, in this Eagles season, there's been just nothing from Doriel Green Beckham. He looks disinterested in running routes. He's had difficulty getting separation from defensive backs. I thought he was supposed to be this height speed guy. That never seems to play out because he plays a lot smaller than he is, and I haven't seen the speed that was advertised. Ground game, Darren Sproles was the leading rusher, 13 carries. You heard Doug Peterson in his press conference today talking about how Sproles has earned the number one back role. Ryan Matthews has a role on the team, obviously. 5 carries, 15 yards, and 1 touchdown. And the receiving core was led by Zach Ertz, finally. 8 catches, 97 yards. Jordan Matthews was the only other receiver who had as many as 5 catches. As far as I'm concerned, there's 2 ways to look at this, right? There's one where you take the long view from the beginning of the season and all the buzz around the birds. This is going to be a 6-10 team, maybe. Absolute best they could do is 8-8. Well, it hurts more now when you're on pace for 8-8, when you start out 3-0. That's a lot of losing games. And then you look at the manner in which the Eagles have lost the games, and it's infuriating. Late game turnovers, fumbling from Ryan Matthews. Carson Wentz still doesn't have a completed fourth quarter comeback win this season. Doug Peterson. And now all of a sudden, the questions are starting to pop up after 8 games about whether Doug Peterson's the right guy to lead this team. And that's just looking in the last 5 games because nobody was saying that after a 3-0 start. There's a high level of concern for the Eagles, but I think everybody can take a step back and relax and breathe because this team this year, by losing to the Giants, has cost themselves a chance at the postseason. It is a Football Monday brought to you by Temple's Fox School of Business, home to the nation's number one online MBA. Head out to the phone lines. John in Marlton starts us off. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Not too much, John.
So, a couple points, mostly calling about Ertz. But, yeah, Carson Wentz did not have his best game. He gets no help from his receiving core, of course. And Jason Kelce is a turnstile. That's all I'll say about that. On Zach Ertz, this guy, I don't know how you can say best Eagle on the field yesterday. He absolutely stinks. He can't break one tackle. You know, Brent Celek is the best tight end this team has ever had, still is the best tight end on the team, and always makes contact and rarely goes down first contact. And I'm sick and tired of people saying Ertz has so much potential. He does. He's reached his ceiling. Ertz is the guy. He's just another receiver on the field, and he can't block to save his life.
Well, maybe they shouldn't be asking him to block, John. I agree with you there for sure, because there's plenty of tight ends in the league that can't block. They just don't ask him to.
100% agree. And last point, and I'll leave it there. Fletcher Cox has not played up to $100 million money. This guy goes quiet against talent that is better than him, and he gets his stats against weaker talent. That's it. Thanks, Joe.
John, thanks for making the call, man. That is something that I noticed yesterday. And I was watching the game with a buddy who roots for a different team in the division. And he's looking at me and he says, wait, is that Fletcher Cox who's missing all those tackles? And I look back at the screen. I'm like, yeah, that is Fletcher Cox missing all those tackles. And I'm able to keep it cool for a little while. And then he says, hold on, how much money per missed tackle is Fletcher Cox making this year? And I said, get out. I'm done with this. But it forces us to face some uncomfortable stuff where we're talking about this guy who's a generational talent at his position, and he's an all-pro slam dunk. And besides J.J. Watt, he's the most impactful defensive lineman in the league. What happened to that? Now you're seeing a hole where the Giants, despite not having a ground game, are somehow able to sustain offense against the Eagles. Eli Manning looked absolutely comfortable for most of the game yesterday. No, we haven't even talked about the secondary yet, have we? I'm watching Leotis McKelvin yesterday get turned around by Odell Beckham Jr., and I'm thinking, wow. You talk about over... You haven't seen a corner get overmatched like this in a while. Like, you think about Eric Rowe going against Calvin Johnson, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? He got taken to school on a couple plays, but there were other plays where Eric Rowe struck back. Every time Odell Beckham was lined up against Leotis McKelvin, something negative happened for the Eagles. Two touchdowns for Odell Beckham. You got to see the touchdown dances. I'm thinking, geez, if you shut one guy down, please let it be this guy. Didn't happen. Eli Manning is begging to give you a chance to win the game. Throws the interception. Hicks comes up with a nice play. You got the ball at midfield, plenty of time to work with. And you come up empty. It was a brutal game to watch on a variety of levels. Been reacting all day, and there's plenty of room for you guys to get in right now at 610-632-0975. As far as I'm concerned, the Eagles are done. They're out of the playoffs this year. I'm not going to be worried about that for the rest of the season. But if you have a different take, you want to talk me out of this, please, I'm all ears. Mike and Del Ran, you're up next on 97.5, The Fanatic with Joe Torti. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Not too much, man.
Hey, man, you know, since the beginning of the season, we all knew our corners were terrible and our wide receivers stunk and our line wasn't going to probably be that good, especially after Lane Johnson was suspended. But there was two things that everybody got real excited about. That was Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not excited anymore. Ever since Carson Wentz threw that pass in the Detroit game, it seems like every game his mistakes, his rookie mistakes, and I'll say that with quotation marks, or air quotes, they've been getting worse and worse. Like, these mistakes are getting bad, and Doug Peterson's not doing any better. I mean, these play calls are hideous, and I kept hearing the phrase Madden on Xbox all day with these fourth downs, and I kind of agree. It's just, I'm nervous now. You know, what I thought was our future in the last four games haven't looked so great.
Mike, the thing that I look at with Carson Wentz is that it's like being on a hot streak in anything, and then all of a sudden you mess up one time and you can't do anything right the rest of the time. Over the last couple of games, I've been seeing stats that suggest that Carson Wentz has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL over the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I think on the Mike Mish show earlier, I think he actually had that stat that he has been the worst quarterback in the league. And what are we going to do? I mean, this is the future. At some point, he's got to lead a fourth quarter drive to win the game. At some point, Doug Peterson has to realize that points in the NFL matter. There used to be a quarterback that was pretty good years ago, his rookie season. I think he won Rookie of the Year award, and then he got stuck in the trap of new coordinators and new coaches almost every year. And if we remember that guy was Sam Bradford.
Yeah, he was here, wasn't he? I remember that guy.
And I'm afraid that we're going to if we got this wrong with Doug Peterson, we have the potential to turn Carson Wentz into the next Sam Bradford, and that's not going to go over too well around here.
No, Mike, that'd be devastating. Thanks for the phone call, man. Oh, boy. I've opened up this. Devon, is this smart to do this? To do this Carson Wentz thing? Because I was having this discussion with somebody else who works here, and it got a little heated. I'm not an I told you so guy. But the things like this, you're saying, oh, what do you expect from Carson Wentz with a bad offensive line and bad weapons and a rookie head coach and this and that and the other thing? Well, maybe you shouldn't have traded up for a rookie quarterback to begin with.
Spell it out, Joe. Spell it out.
It's dangerous. Look, this is what I'll say. And if people want to jump all over me, that's totally fine. I welcome it. If you knew, like we just established, that you're going to have all of these issues, then why in the world would you trade up for the last piece that most teams need is that quarterback? Makes no sense to me. You got teams like Seattle and San Francisco when they went to the Super Bowl and all these other teams building up. And all they've got the defense, they've got the offensive line, they've got the weapons, they got everything that you need. And then you've got a nice quality quarterback that you bring in on a cheap salary so you can continue to bolster that. From a strategic standpoint, maybe that didn't make sense. Look, I didn't think the Eagles were going to do anything this year. I really didn't. So the fact that they started out 3-0 shifted my expectations. I didn't think that they were going to run through undefeated and dominate the division or dominate the conference or anything like that. But it doesn't make this sting hurt any less now that I see that the Eagles now sit at 4-4 after starting 3-0. Not only am I upset, I'm angry. Mike in Horsham, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Doing okay, thank you.
I think as far as this season goes ahead, I hate to say it, but I think we need to kind of just, I think some problems we got to fix, though, is Deuce Staley as a running back coach. I don't know what this guy is doing, but if he's in, I'm pretty sure he's in charge of the running back rotation, and the way he uses Barnier and Smallwood is just pretty awful. And, I mean, he uses Sproles to run between the tackles. And, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to have a small guy run between the tackles. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not like once or twice. It seems to be like that's the offense that they're going with. When you've got big guys like Ryan Matthews, who you would conceivably trust to carry it in between the tackles if they were able to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It makes no sense how this guy is using the running backs. I think if we want to progress to the team, we got to fix that problem and fix it soon, because honestly, if we decide to run the ball effectively yesterday, I bet you we extend one of those drives where we miss on fourth down into a touchdown. I guarantee it if we run the ball effectively tomorrow and or yesterday, and we're just not doing it well.
And that's the only thing that you would have needed. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for making it. That's my point, is that in a game like that where the Giants are trying to give it to you and you lose by 5 points, any one of those plays that end up not getting you points is huge. Doug Peterson's not blameless in this at all, as far as I'm concerned. I'm frustrated because I thought that Doug Peterson was proving everybody wrong who said that maybe the Eagles shouldn't hire a coach that nobody else wanted to even interview for a head coaching job. I was proud to see Doug Peterson out there and being a gunslinger from the coaching box and doing everything that he can to keep teams off balance. It just seems like now, all of a sudden, routine football decisions aren't becoming as routine. Single open phone line at 610-632-0975. Head down to Delaware. Anton, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Hey, Anton.
Hey, what's up, Joe? How you doing?
Doing okay. Thank you, man.
All right. Here's the thing. I totally agree with you about the coach. The coach, first of all, he didn't even call plays in Kansas City, so he's probably overwhelmed right now. But if you want to take a bright spot out of what's going on, the Eagles just changed defensive philosophies from 3-4 to 4-3.
True.
And so with that being said, you got to give that secondary time to understand how to cover on the back end, because the coverage is a little bit different from a 3-4. Like in a 3-4, you need great safeties, but on a 4-3, you need great corners. So, you know, you got to give them time to get those players. You know
True.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying. But to me, what the thing that frustrates me is that, you know, it was working before. You know, the Steelers, say what you want about them, they didn't have Le'Veon Bell, whatever. You held a good offense to 3 points. I mean, it made a big difference. How come it wasn't an issue then and it's an issue now?
My retort to that is this, and I've said this to a lot of people. The Steelers game was a mirage because before that game played, the Eagles out-game-planned the Steelers, because the Steelers was running at 2 linemen, 5 defensive backs, 4 nickel, and the Eagles offense just dominated the game.
True.
And the Steelers was just backpedaling the whole time. They could never run their game plan out, because the Eagles had them on their heels the whole term. That game was a mirage. In the rest of the games, that first game and the Bears game and the Browns game, those were two of the worst teams in the NFL. So I don't know how much you can't put that as a barometer for the rest of the league, and especially this division, which is arguably the best, but notably second best.
Okay. Yeah. You know what, Anton? I'll actually buy that. Good points, man. I appreciate that. And it's a far cry from the NFC least that we were hearing about, and, you know, how the division's going to be weak. And remember when we were hearing that 8-8, 9-7 might take it? Is that before or after the Cowboys were 7-1? I mean, you've got a 5-3 team in New York. Washington's playing well this year. And by the way, the Eagles, for all their struggles, are at 4-4. It's a good division this year. There's no question about it. And because it's a good division, as far as I'm concerned, this team does not have a chance of making the playoffs. Nick in Hatfield. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Joe Torty. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Joe. How are you making out this evening?
I'm okay. I'm doing all right, I guess.
Hang in there, my man.
Thanks. Hey,
just, it's tough to listen to. I'm all for criticizing and, you know, holding people responsible. However, you got to keep the filter on that everybody's first year, and there's a huge deficit in receiver. And, you know, we pass most of the time. We have no really running game. So we're a passing team that has no receivers. So it's really, you know, it's a tough spot to be in.
Nick, does that make you question, though, if you have no wide receivers, why are you calling all these passing plays?
Because you don't have a running back.
So we got nowhere to go.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'll tell you what, I really think, who is it, Greg Lewis? He's done a terrible job. You know, these guys have been around for a couple years now, and I see no improvement. Not only do I see no improvement, I see no recommendation to give that kid who caught the deep ball a chance. Like, what is he looking at?
Bryce Treggs, you mean?
Yeah, Bryce, exactly.
Yeah.
Who's the other fella who, in the preseason, I know it's preseason, but caught everything that was thrown to him? What do you have to lose by putting that kid in?
Well, I mean, that's a good point, Nick, but, and I appreciate the phone call. Paul Turner, I don't know if Paul Turner's the answer on this team. I mean, I get that he's doing it against scrubs. He's doing it with scrubs. How do you know? Like, it's so impossible to evaluate Paul Turner. What I will say is that by and large, you have to have faith in your team's ability to at least evaluate who's a good player and who's going to be a competent player for you. They've seen Paul Turner in practice. They know what they're going to get. And it seems that Turner hasn't done enough to prove to the coaching staff, whether it's Greg Lewis or Doug Peterson or whoever makes that final decision, maybe Howie Roseman, I don't know. But he hasn't done enough to solidify himself a position on the roster. And that's saying something in particular with this team's receiving core being the way that it is. Is Bryce Treggs the answer? I doubt it. But who knows? You might be pleasantly surprised. I just need to see more from Treggs before I jump all on that train. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by CarSense, where their certified used cars look like new and are guaranteed even better with a lifetime engine guarantee. Find out more at CarSense.com. It's Car Sensational. Joe Torty here with you until Sixers Jazz at 7 right here on The Fanatic.
Tonight at 7, the Sixers are back on the hardwood and set to battle the Utah Jazz.
Rising, and Embiid swats it off the glass. Oh, man, what a block.
Hear all the Sixers basketball action right here.
Three ball up, got it.
Your home for Philadelphia 76ers basketball. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, Matt Lombardo here, and another great weekend of football is in the books. I know there were some big surprises, but if you had the winners, I hope you went to mybookie.net and placed your picks. You would have taken home some big wins. We got another game tonight, Buffalo and Seattle. Who do you like? It's time to go to MyBookie and place your pick. If you want to put your football knowledge to use, then you got to go to MyBookie to take home some big wins. Who do you like in Week 10 of the NFL? Baltimore over Cleveland, Denver over New Orleans. If you have the picks, why not win big by going to MyBookie and placing your picks? MyBookie is the industry-leading website where thousands of guys go every weekend to place their picks and win big. It's never too early. We still have a game tonight, Buffalo and Seattle. Get in on the action. Why wait? Sign up at MyBookie. Don't go anywhere else. Go online at MyBookie to open up your account. Go to MyBookie. Use promo code Matt. That's promo code Matt. Sign up and start winning today at MyBookie.
There's something old in your freezer. Something you froze for later. But later never came. That's why Wendy's only uses fresh beef for their hamburgers, because frozen is for later. Show Wendy's how old frozen can be with a photo of the oldest thing in your freezer, and you could win a year of fresh Wendy's hamburgers. For details, go to freezerdig.com. Start digging.
No purchase necessary. U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Ends 11-2016. For official rules and all details, visit freezerdig.com. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
At Wendy's,
This just in. Wendy's new Swiss Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now an option with the 4 for $4. Let's go live to Switzerland. You can hear the ceremonial Swiss Alpine horns welcoming the new Swiss Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Now an officer from the Swiss Army is using his knife to cut into a ceremonial block of cheese. There you have it, the deliciously different Swiss Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Now available for a limited time with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke for just $4. Stay neutral, Switzerland.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska, Hawaii, or Switzerland.
Hey, guys, did you know that Family & Company Jewelers is the Delaware Valley's largest diamond destination? We all know that when you're ring shopping, cost is a big factor. Well, Family & Company has a deal for Fanatic listeners. Go to 975thefanatic.com and enter keyword ring to get $500 off the center diamond on any Viraggio engagement ring. You can visit their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, but first, go to 975thefanatic.com and enter keyword ring to save $500. Get the right ring at Family & Company Jewelers.
This Veterans Day, 97.5, The Fanatic wants to thank and salute our veterans for their great service to our great country. Veterans Day on The Fanatic is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. French Creek Outfitters is your home for firearms, archery, camping, fishing, outdoor clothes, and footwear. Take advantage of the lowest prices of the year on all of your favorite outdoor gear. French Creek Outfitters, located at 270 Schuylkill Road in Phoenixville. Why take a chance with anybody else?
The folks at Bradford White Water Heaters want to say thank you. Thank you to our veterans who have served our country. Thank you to the active military service members who continue to uphold this country's honor. Thank you to the families that have stayed strong and supported their veterans during their time of service. We salute you. Thank a veteran today and make sure they understand how much you appreciate them. Brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Proud to be American-made, American-owned.
Hey, Ann here. You heard me talk about Mark's Jewelers and the great customer service, large selection of diamonds, patented jewel vision technology. Now Mark's Jewelers has opened the ultimate jewelry buying experience with their new store in Montgomeryville. The new Mark's Jewelers is a jewelry shopping paradise with almost 25,000 square feet. You'll be amazed at the great selection of jewelry. So drive past the city and the local mall. Head up to Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville at the intersection of Route 202 and 309. Online, marks-jewelers.com.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $12 AutoZone gift card by mail with the purchase of a Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Twin Pack or two single packs. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions and details in store.
Cold weather is here. Keep it out and save. Get 15% off select special order windows and doors at the Home Depot. Outfit your house with new doors and windows, including installed windows, from top brands like Anderson, the number one brand. Keep your family warm and cozy all season long. And get 15% off select special order windows and doors, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through November 16th. Installed windows available in select markets only. See store for details.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Hurry into JCPenney for Black Friday deals early. Get up to 40% off major appliances, including select Samsung stainless steel French door refrigerators for just $9.94. Plus, don't miss out on special financing with your JCPenney credit card. And get free delivery on major appliance purchases of $2.99 or more. Get Black Friday deals early on major appliances. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. GE, GE Profile, and GE Cafe limited to 10% off savings. Subject to credit approval. Must request at time of purchase. Available in select stores. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See store associate or jcp.com for details. Financing terms valid 11/6 to 11/30.
Upon us, which means it's that time of year again to replace your old drafty windows and doors before winter. If this sounds like something on your to-do list, then turn to my good friends at Guided Door and Window. Guided is offering some incredible discounts this fall that will help you save big with their buy one, get one half off sale on all qualifying windows and doors. For every door or window you buy, you'll get a second one at 50% off, and you can mix and match these savings to suit your own needs. Buy an entry door, get half off a storm door. Buy a patio door and get 50% off a window. Need to replace all the windows and doors in your house? Then you'll save 50% on half of your project. The more you need, the more you'll save. Plus, start your project with no money down and take 12 months to pay it off interest-free. This offer for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. For full details, call Guided today and schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate. The number's 1-877-GO-GUIDED or online at goguided.com. That's goguida.com.
on 97.5. The Fanatic, Joe Torti, taking you up until the Sixers game at 7 o'clock. Brian Seltzer will take you through the pregame, and Jeff Mosher will be on after the game, breaking down the Eagles and what went wrong yesterday. We're talking about it. Doug Peterson gets so much of the blame, and it's probably because his errors were so visible. At least a lot of people talking about, you know, the fourth downs and everything. The play calling in particular for the second week in a row was not what we expected to see from Doug Peterson based on his successful run to start the year. So to lose three out of your last four games, the Eagles have to be just totally floored with what they've seen. You think about the players being on that team, right? Everything has worked out for the first 3 weeks. You go into the bye, you're flying high, and it's all of a sudden like the momentum is just totally out of this team. It's like a hot air balloon that all of a sudden can't keep itself up. You watch Doug Peterson, you watch Carson Wentz, and by the way, there is a unit that does get a pass from me. Eagles special teams continue to be pretty darn good. I mean, all in all, you see them scoring, you know, on kick returns, on punt returns, defensive stuff. All of that gets covered up when your special teams looks really good, and they have so far. But based on what I've seen from the last 5 weeks, Eagles not making the playoffs, and now the thing that we're going to be watching is whether Minnesota continues to slide and your draft pick continues to get better. Back to the phone lines we go. Rob, what's going on, Rob? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Joe. I just wanted to cheer you up a little bit.
I appreciate really that. Thank you.
I mean, do you think the team's ahead of schedule from where you thought they'd be at the beginning of the year?
Who knows? Because if they lose out and they go 6-10, they'll be exactly where I thought they would be at the beginning of the year.
Right. I mean, a lot of people thought 4-12, 5-11, 6-10, and that could end up happening. But I think that there's a lot of good there. That what is bringing so much frustration is that every game that they've lost, they could have won. But there's not a team in the league that wants to play this team because they're a tough team and they're ahead of schedule. And I just think, yeah, we knew the wide receiver core was going to be a challenge. We knew there were deficiencies on the defense, maybe in the secondary. But altogether, you got to think we're ahead of schedule.
Well, so let me ask you, Rob, what specifically about this team do you feel is ahead of schedule?
I think their quarterback play. I think that the line is overachieving. I think the defensive line is, they didn't have their best game in the last game, but that defense is really stepped up this year.
It has, so by and large. That's true, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. And there are some good points there. But like I said, it's almost like we're backsliding because I did believe that this team was ahead of schedule. When they started 3-0, I thought, no way. Like, I couldn't even put odds on that. There was just no way that this team was going to start 3-0. And they did. And that's when I'm thinking, okay, the quarterback's ahead of schedule. The head coach is ahead of schedule. The corners are not as bad as I thought they were. Everything's coming together for this team schematically to cover whatever talent deficiencies we thought they had in the preseason. But that is proving not to be the case when Carson Wentz is struggling and backsliding over the last three games. And when Doug Peterson has made incredibly questionable calls in the last three or four games, where it doesn't make any sense what you're seeing based on what you saw in the first four games of the season. So for me, when I watch this, I want to take solace in the fact that, yeah, the Eagles are ahead of schedule, but are they really? Because what if they just had a hot streak and now they're sliding back down to where we thought they were? That's not ahead of schedule, that's on schedule. And on schedule for the Eagles preseason was not a very good team. Donald and Lansdowne, you're up on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Donald.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay.
Yeah, I see maybe two corrections. If they can make two corrections, one on defense and one on offense, we might have a chance.
Okay, what are you looking at?
Play Atlanta a little bit better than these last two losses that we already achieved.
Okay.
Defensively, I think McCalvin, he's up in age. He can't cover because he's slow. He needs to be replaced at corner. He just got toasted in every game that we lost. Also, offensively, I think they need to go back to the basics. just like you do in training camp, learn how to run the ball properly. And as far as running back to committee, I think that's wrong. I think it's bad. There's no other team in the NFL that does that. I've watched football for over 35 years. I've never seen teams use four running backs. They usually have three running backs in the 53-man roster, and they usually use two running backs during the game.
Right.
Even if Sproles is allowed to be the number one back, okay, you want to give him the ball 15 times? You can, and give Barnyard 10 carries a game? That's cool with me. You know what I mean? Ryan Matthews shouldn't even be on this team. They had trade offers from Dallas. If they had traded him to Dallas, what's the hurt out of that? What's the pain out of that? There is none, because they drafted Elliott, and Matthews probably won't even hardly get on the field anyway for Dallas.
Right.
So they blew that deal. Second of all, if you establish the run like they should have did in the Dallas game, they came. If you notice the Dallas game, they came out passing.
They did.
Then they established the run, okay? What they should have did was the Giants were waiting for that, because they saw how the Eagles came out passing in Dallas, and they just zoned up properly to the point where they were in the right position to get the interceptions they did.
And that's exactly what happened, Donald. Thanks for the phone call. It's clear that the coaching has not been up to snuff for the Eagles, because just like Donald said, teams are just ready for what they're doing now. It looked like in the first 3 weeks that teams just had no idea what the Birds were going to do on offense. And now, I mean, talent aside, I understand that it's not always about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmies and the Joes, or whatever cliche you want to throw out there. But at the end of the day, teams with inferior talent still win games sometimes. They don't win 14 games or 15 games, but they win sometimes. Eagles should be able to do that based on what the defense has given them, the special teams advantage that they have. There are reasons why the Eagles should be winning games. And because, at least the last couple of weeks, of Doug Peterson, people are questioning, well, maybe he's the weak link on this team. Steve in Lancaster, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Hey, Steve.
Hey, at one point, just really, like, bothering me.
Sure.
I don't understand. Like, I watch other games, too. I don't understand how teams like the Browns got Terrell Pryor. He's not even a real receiver. He can make plays every week. You got the Chargers. They got this rookie Williams. He's a fifth-round draft pick. He makes catches, makes plays every week. Are our receivers really that bad? Like, I just don't understand why they can't catch a pass. They can't make a play. They can't do anything.
Steve, you've got Nelson Agholor as a first-round pick. Jordan Matthews is a second-round pick. Josh Huff's not on the team. He was a third-round pick. You've got another team's second-round pick, a wide receiver in Dorial Green-Beckham, and nobody's doing anything. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, they can't make any plays. And I don't really blame Wentz. I think Wentz is a rookie at the end of the day. But, I mean, I seen a play yesterday where Beckham could have caught a touchdown pass and just, like, seemed like it just went right over. If he had just jumped a little bit higher, he didn't look like he made an effort to fall. So,
yeah, you and I were watching the same game. I saw that too, Steve. Appreciate the phone call, man. Look, for me, Carson Wentz is a rookie, and that is a built-in excuse. The rookies are going to have flashes of hot and flashes of cold. But what I don't want to forget is that all of a sudden through the first four or five games, you know, everybody's talking about him being an elite quarterback and he's not playing like a rookie. But now that he is, it's not a sin to say that he's playing like a rookie. That's exactly right. That's the point that I'm making, is that Carson Wentz is regressing back towards the mean. Do I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL like he's played the last couple weeks? Absolutely not. There's no way. His physical tools are going to carry him to greater heights and more success. But he's just not there at this exact moment. Jeff and Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but let's take a step back. I mean, Carson Wentz is probably the best thing in Philadelphia sports in the last 5 years. This guy's going to lead this team. He's a leader. You can see it. This is a perfect opportunity for him to get NFL experience. The line is good enough so he's not getting killed. He has no weapons. He has no receivers. He has a 33-year-old running back, Sproles, who's a great talent, but he's not starting running back in the NFL.
You're right.
And he's won four games with all that. So what are we getting down about this kid? The kid is great. He's going to be superb, and he's getting the experience now to take the Eagles to the promised land in the next few years. There's no doubt about it. The coach, you know, let's see. He made if we scored on one of those, or we got a first down on one of those fourth downs with his aggressiveness, that's about Philadelphia's all about aggressiveness. Unfortunately,
of course,
he bet and he lost. He bet and he lost, and he took the, you know, he took the credit for losing. I mean, you got to he stood up there and he said it was on his shoulders. So you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think they're a young team. I think next year they're going to be much better. Just give him a break.
You know? All right. Well, you know what, Jeff? I appreciate the phone call, man. But it's tough for me to swallow sitting here tonight in this chair talking to you fine folks about the Eagles next year when it's an 8-8 or a 4-4 football team. We're sitting here in week 9 talking about next year already. That's ridiculous after a 3-0 start. That's unacceptable. That's inexcusable after a 3-0 start. This is what I don't like. I don't like that all of the excuses are being made now for the team. I don't like that all of the, oh, well, these guys don't have the ability because they don't have the talent at receiver, or they don't have the tight ends, or they don't have a real running back, or the coach is figuring it out, or the quarterback's figuring it out. That's fine. But the other guys got paid 2 weeks 1, 2, and 3 last I checked. And you handled business. You overcame Minnesota in a tough game, beat the Vikings. All of a sudden, when the games really count and they really matter against New York and Washington and Dallas, now all the excuses kick in? We're better than that, guys. Sheed and Philly are on 97.5, the Fanatic. Hey, Sheed.
What's going on? I got a couple of points. I know, listen, Carson Wentz is a great great quarterback, and he's good. He's gonna be a great quarterback. But I think some of it's Rookie Rosen, because can you look at it like some of Doug Peterson play calling could be overturned of all the kill plays, him killing the plays because he read the defense too fast or too much. The defense fooling him out, and he always killing the plays, and then maybe like every time he calling a play, he kill it, and then like he don't let the play just play out.
That could be it, Cheetah. I mean, it seemed every time that Carson Wentz killed a play that it was the wrong play. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Every time he killed a play, it was the wrong play, and it never worked. So maybe, I'm saying, like, he's good. I'm saying, like, he had his roles in it, but maybe that's the rookie mistakes that people are starting to fool him out of the plays they're going to do on him, and he's killing it, and then they switch it up real fast, and now he can't do it because he already hacked the ball.
Right, so, I'm with you.
So I understand sort of where they if you look at it, the Jonas we come from, look at the whole season. Everybody that we beat that was elite, somewhat elite, whatever, lost. Everybody that we beat lost.
Yeah, and they look worse now. Thanks for the phone call, Sheet. I'm sorry, we're up against it, man. You know, guys, as always, I feel like every time I'm talking to you guys, we run out of time. I'd love to chat with you more, but good news, bad news. Bad news, that's about it for me. But two pieces of good news. We got Jazz at Sixers coming up next right here on The Fanatic. Brian Seltzer has the pregame. And Jeff Mosher will be there to take your phone calls after the game. So if you didn't get on with me, don't worry. Jeff's a great guy to talk to as well. And he certainly knows a lot more football than me. Until next time, for my producer, Devon Givens, thank you very much for keeping us on the air and everything like that. This is Joe Torti saying so long. And I'll talk to you next time right here on The Fanatic.